Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Browns situation is clear. You have four quarterbacks. You would think they're all in tough situations. There's a pressure on all of these guys, you would think. Right? That, I mean, they're all trying to win a job. They're all trying to either A, continue a career, salvage a career, right. Or make a career.
Right. Good point.
I mean, they're all in a career crossroads. All four of them in some way, shape, or form. You could throw in five with Deshaun Watson, too. But I thought there was something that was really interesting that was put out by a guy who is really writes some in-depth pieces. It's Bill Barnwell from ESPN. And the headline is, NFL players, coaches, GMs, under the most pressure in the 2025 season. And he came up with somebody who he put on his team that I thought, really? I was a little surprised at it, Tom. And some of the other names that he put on there, Joey Bosa, Breece Hall, the running back in with the Jets who needs to perform, Evan Ingram, J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota, you know, some guys, Anthony Richardson with the Colts, who Daniel Jones is trying to beat out. I mean, there were some serious guys. He had Brian Daboll on there. So some real coaches, you know, and Schottenheimer in Dallas. And then he listed a member of the Cleveland Browns. And I thought, the all-pressure team, really? Fifth-round pick, Shedeur Sanders.
Interesting.
The all-pressure team, yeah. All-under-pressure team.
I would.
And I thought, really?
Yeah.
And I'll give you just a couple of the highlights of what Bill Barnwell wrote about him. And I don't know that I agree with Bill in this, but man, I thought it was really interesting. He said he's the most discussed fourth quarterback since Tim Tebow. Well, hard to argue with that one. That was really true. And Tebow, of course, went in the first round to Denver. But he said this, and I thought, that might be true. He said, if Shedeur Sanders is going to succeed in the NFL, his best chance is this season.
I completely disagree with that.
I thought it was interesting.
It is interesting. It's an interesting take, and obviously it caught our eyeballs, right?
Yeah, so it did.
He accomplished what he wanted to do
there. The reason he said that was because of this, the window that Shedeur is in right now, where the Browns have Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel. Well, who's your starter? No, we can't say, you know, yes, that's the guy right there. And his point was, you have these two guys, or these three guys, and then you have two first-round picks next year that scream quarterback.
I get it. There's a window there.
There's a real small window.
I got you.
According to Barnwell, for Shedeur Sanders to win a starting quarterback job in the National Football League.
But there's only so much Shedeur can control here, right? And that's going to be how much, you know, the time he gets on the field is not going to be, I mean, it's going to be up to him at the end of the day, but to begin the day, it's not going to be. So he, you know, I would almost feel like there's more pressure on the other three guys than there is on Shedeur.
I would agree with you completely.
Right now.
Although, is Joe Flacco the kind of guy who's going to feel any pressure?
No.
Is he going to go, you know, I'm going to go watch my kids play. Thanks, guys. It's been great.
It's been fun. Back to the couch.
That couch was nice.
Yeah.
My dad could catch passes. So.
I think you make a good point, though, Jeff, that there's more of a crossroads situation here with especially Kenny Pickett, right? This is a guy who's trying to hold on for dear life, right? I mean, if he doesn't succeed here, this could be the end for him. Or, I mean, as a starter. I mean,
he would be on the career backup path.
Yeah,
and he would become Mitch Trubisky, he would become Brian Hoyer, and nothing against those guys. They made a lot of money. They're going
to
be in the league.
There's something to be said for being the
Brian was in the league
Don Strock of these days.
Oh, a long time. Brian was in the league, and Mitch Trubisky is a primo backup quarterback for a team, and Mitch has done just fine for himself.
And hugely valuable, right? I mean,
Without question.
You know that you can put in that in a pinch or what have you, and good to have in the
teams who have a guy like him have an edge.
And good to have around a young quarterback, et cetera. Yep. So Yeah, I don't quite view it the same way Bill does in terms of the pressure on Shadur. Like, and I don't know necessarily that Shadur feels much pressure at all ever. I mean, here's a kid that
seems pretty easygoing. Yeah,
things are going pretty well in the Sanders world, right? I mean, yeah. He made significant money at Colorado, you know, given the new
his own money,
given the
let
new
alone
rules,
his dad's.
Right? Yeah, so he's sitting pretty now. That's not to say that he's not a hugely competitive kid, because that's what drives him, and that's what, you know, kind of the Sanders family's reputation has been built on. I mean, he wants to, you know, he wants to win this job. There's no question about it. I just don't think that he's going to have an opportunity to do that this year. I think it's going to be a real slow, developmental, let's take this, you know, we like this kid a lot. Let's not rush it if we don't have to. They don't want to get into a situation like they had with DTR a couple years ago, where suddenly he's elevated into a backup role. I don't think he's ready for that. I think there's a good reason why Dylan Gabriel went in the third round and he went in the fifth round. And so I think the pressure's off Shadur. I think Shadur can go out there and play freely and do what he needs to do, knowing
and make
that,
mistakes.
And make mistakes and knowing that that's what this year is about. I don't see that kind of pressure on him.
Bill Barnwell has a stat here that you're going to love. And I keep harping on this to people when they call. I don't mean it to sound negative. I mean it to sound realistic. And Bill Barnwell put even a different type of context on it. He said in his story, the most under pressure players in the NFL this year, where he has Shadur Sanders of the Browns listed as one of those guys. He said 20 quarterbacks were drafted in the fifth round between 2000 and 2020. So 20 guys. And he said many enjoyed long careers, which is true. He says A.J. Feely, T.J. Yates, Dan Orlovsky, who now has an even better career as a television guy. And he said, to name a few of those 20 guys. And he said, but here's the catch. None of the fifth round quarterbacks between 2000 and 2020 started more than 18 games in their career.
Interesting. That's a really good stat.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so that's what, and he says, of course, yeah, Tom Brady, different. That's, you know, you have that from time to time. But he said the last fifth round pick to become a long-term starter was Mark Brunell, who was drafted in 1993 wow. by Green Bay.
Real good player.
And Green Bay always had the, hey, we're going to develop a quarterback and then we can do something with him. They did it with Brunell, then they did it with Matt Hasselbeck. Then they did it with Matt Flynn.
Right.
And, you know, that philosophy worked for them. And they ended up trading those guys for something else. And that's something to keep in mind with the Browns here, folks. You drafted two quarterbacks. If you have those two guys on your team this year, and I expect them to, Tom, I don't see them walking away from either of the draft picks.
No, I'm with you. And as Andrew pointed out, you know, there's so many more things you can do with in terms of the
sure.
roster to kind of keep them around.
Sure.
One on the practice squad, elevate them up, activate them, that, et cetera, et cetera.
And if they can do with those two guys what the Packers did with Mark Brunell, with what the Packers did with Matt Hasselbeck.
Ideal situation, Jeff.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Because you have a young guy who can back up for you, and when the time is right, you trade him. And you get another asset in return. And that's terrific. But that's why I agree with you and not Bill Barnwell. And even though I think Bill does a terrific job, I think Shadur, of all of the four quarterbacks in camp, and I'm not going to count Deshaun because he's not eligible to play right now. Of the four quarterbacks, I think there's less pressure on him.
I do too.
Because I think he gets a pass on this year.
Yeah, the counter argument I hear from people all the time here about him being taken in the fifth round is, well, you know, a lot of people had him going as high as number two in the draft. And now I think a lot of that, Jeff, was based on name recognition, right? Mm-hmm. I think that had a lot to do with it. I think, obviously, he slid in the draft for a number of reasons. One of them is that he did not handle his offseason the way he should have handled it. And that comes with being part of the Sanders family as well, right? They felt like yeah. they didn't need what they needed to do
well, that,
in terms of
that
getting...
That didn't work.
No, it didn't. Yeah. It backfired on him, right? So you hopefully... You know, that's a lesson learned for him, for the family, et cetera. So, listen, I want to see the kid do well. I know there's a lot of hype around him. I don't personally think he's ready to play in the NFL yet. I think the Browns view him that way. I think he's number four.
And, Tom, that's okay.
That's okay, yeah.
People don't realize that's okay.
Except, though, and I get that, you know, the Browns need a quarterback. They've got four. This is what, you know, this is what has haunted this team and regress their development for decades now, is that they can't figure out this quarterback situation. So I get why fans get hyped when they get a guy with this kind of potential and upside. I mean, we'd love to see it work out. I'd like to see any of these four guys succeed. I mean, that's what it's all about.
We're in the exact same boat. If you ask me who I want to see win this job, it's Kenny Pickett. Why? Because I think he has some experience, some background. He's had some success. He's had some rough moments. Was a first-round pick. And young. I would love to see him be the best guy. I just think it would work. If he's the best guy. And if he's not, and if it's Flacco, then you start Joe.
No, and
it's real simple to me. And yeah. And if it's Dylan Gabriel, well, all the better. You know? Exactly. Wow. Okay.
Exactly.
All the better. Yeah. I just think there's opportunity there that for one of these guys to step up. The problem is if nobody does step up, then
that's the problem.
Then it's like, okay,
we will. You know, you mentioned this before, Jeff.
Arch Manning.
You mentioned this before off the air, and I think it's a very astute point. Is that there are four camps here, and there are very few people in the Kenny Pickett camp. You being one of the few captains of that team, but
he's the
least of the. Four favorites.
The guys who are, if you're getting, you know, love thrown at you, Kenny's getting the least.
Yes.
How's that?
Yes. And I think, you know, part of that, I think, is also due to the fact that he used to play for the arch rival team.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, so I think that
and failed there.
That plays into it as well. And, right. And, but you know what? We've had 25 starts out of him, right? I know there's been, you know.
Pretty good record.
I know that there was a knock on the way they ran the offense in Pittsburgh that I don't think helped, you know, him with any of his development in his first couple of years.
Matt Canada, so his gig.
He's a former first round pick. To your point, Jeff, let's see him do well.
We know who our mystery guest is.
Uh-oh.
Sometime during the 11 o'clock hour, we think. So this hour, Greg Newsome, Browns cornerback, is going to join us. Also, Browns quarterbacks are going to speak. So corners and quarters. Coming up right here on Baskin and Phelps, Tom Withers is in for Andy.
Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who Tom just mentioned, we're sitting here talking in the break. That's a stunning little number.
Year five for Greg Newsome.
Who knew?
Hard to believe.
Isn't that hard to believe?
I've done my best work with Greg Newsome, by the way, at Cavs games. We would tend to run into each other at halftime in the hallway when we would catch up and chat for a bit. Good man. I like Greg Newsome a lot.
I do too. And he's always a joy to talk with. So we're gonna hear from Greg. We also are expecting to hear from Browns quarterbacks, so corners and quarters.
All nine of them.
Yeah.
Sorry. We got to have fun with this, don't we?
I don't think there's any.
The four horsemen.
If we don't
Korea.
Have fun with it, we have a problem.
The four horsemen.
So when the quarterbacks speak, of course, press conferences on the Fan are brought to us by Montrose Kia. Choose, click, cruise at montrosekia.com. Jeff Phelps along with Tom Withers is in for Andy today. There was news earlier in the day and about Jordan Hicks stepping away from the Browns as a linebacker. We're going to get to that in a second. But Dan and Mentor wants to talk a little quarterback. Hello, Dan.
Hello. I had a question. You guys are missing about late-round quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Name Tom Brady came up. Do you know who the quarterback that was picked right before Tom Brady was?
Nope. Not off the top of my head. Who was it? Oh, Spurgeon Wynn. Yeah. That didn't work, did it?
Yeah, one pick away, right?
That didn't work.
The illustrious.
No.
All right, Dan.
It changed our history there, but yeah.
Thank you. You're playing my game. I tend to do that and drive Dan and Andy absolutely nuts.
What could have been? You like those kind
by
of?
Showing who
nobody wins when he plays that game.
So thanks, Dan.
Yeah. Okay.
Appreciate that. Spurgeon win.
Those were great days.
Who knew?
It's a great afternoon.
Was one Big Ten quarterback ahead of the other.
I'm trying to remember how many games he started. There was a handful.
Yeah.
I know he started that game in Jacksonville where the Browns did not cross midfield.
Was that frowned upon, Tom?
That was not a good thing.
I think that was a bad thing. Jordan Hicks retiring from the Browns.
Yeah.
From the NFL. Jordan stepping away, put out a really nice thing on social media. That's all well and good, and good for him. I completely understand when a player wants to step away from football. I don't get it with baseball and basketball, but you almost never see that, Tom.
No, not in the primes of their career kind of thing. Although Jordan played 10 years, which I didn't realize. He's been around a bit. He dealt with some...
In 33. You know, so dealt with, sure, he could have played another year or two maybe, but sure. Hey, step away while you're... You know, you don't need knee replacement. Exactly. You have both your hips.
Yeah, exactly. When I was talking to Scott earlier, we talked about, you know, last year to Jordan quite a bit, and he had some injuries, and he was always quite introspective about his career and about his football mortality, so to speak, Jeff. So it's not to say that the writing wasn't on the wall, but it was, you know, he had clearly been through some tough times over the last 2 years physically, which I'm sure, you know, led to partially at least this decision.
What do the Browns do? Are they okay at linebacker?
No.
You have Carson? You don't think
no,
so?
No, I don't. I didn't think they were before Carson.
Tom, so I thought that sure. too. I thought you could really bring in another linebacker here. Now you could bring in two linebackers.
Yeah, it really creates another, opens up a wider hole than I think that was already there.
I think so too. So, Schlesinger is going to play.
We know that.
He's
going to start.
He's going to be on the field. Yeah. We hope he's good.
Yep.
I will tell you, I love the story, and the story scares the you-know-what out of me. Former walk-on at UCLA who works his way up to being a second-round draft choice, first pick in the second round. That's wonderful. Except for the fact that the guy didn't play a whole lot of college football and came on really strong at the end. And my hope is that, okay, he's the real deal. And it's not just, boy, he had a good, like, year and a half. And I hope that's the case, Tom. Regardless, he's going to be on the football field.
You just made me more nervous, Jeff.
Well,
I mean,
Tom, I think those are valid thoughts.
Yeah.
Do you?
Very much so. I'm looking at the depth chart now. I forgot Jerome Baker is back here.
Yep.
Nice pickup by them.
Yes.
Solid player at Ohio State. You know, did well in Miami. Kind of, you know, I don't want to say a crossroads again, but another player that's like trying to prove that he still belongs, right?
And, yeah,
and invigorated back in his hometown, all those kinds of good things.
Good for him.
Good story. But beyond that,
we mentioned Mahmoud Diabate earlier on in the show.
Who will get his chances.
And I like the way he played last year. I thought he did a nice job. But again, you're counting on a bunch of guys who your fingers are crossed on. And I hate...
Yeah,
I don't mind having my fingers crossed on one guy at a position.
You don't build seasons on hope.
No, a wide receiver, your fingers are crossed on everybody, except Jerry Jeudy.
Right.
At wide receiver. At linebacker, your fingers are crossed on pretty much everybody. Now, in the NFL today, defensively, what do you need? With the league the way it is today, you need a defensive line and you need DBs, especially corners. And linebackers just seem to be guys who make tackles.
Well, yeah, and especially in this Jim Schwartz system, too, where your linebackers are, you know, sideline to sideline guys that are going to kind of clean up, to your point, Jeff, what your D-line, you know, doesn't get done, right? I mean, they've got to be sure tacklers. They've got to be able to cover backs coming out of the backfield in today's game. It's a vital, important position, which is why, you know, the JOK injury was devastating in my mind. I mean, not only was he playing at an elite level last year, but the idea that we may not see him on the field again is just heartbreaking, for lack of a better word. So,
And Tom, you fear for the poor guy's career.
Oh, my God, yeah.
No, I mean, he was so much fun to watch, and he really came on. Yeah. He figured it out, and he's a great guy.
Great guy, yeah. And, you know, and in terms of Hicks, too, I'm sure this... You know, while I'm sure this caught many in Berea off guard, I'm sure that Andrew Berry had a sense that this was coming, right? I don't think Jordan would leave them, you know, out to dry on this. So there's no doubt that they've been, you know, scouring rosters around the league and free agency and looking, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see a linebacker or two make their way onto this roster in the next coming days.
I would agree with you. Dave is in Chagrin Falls. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys, I just want to talk to you about Greg Newsom. You brought his name up.
Yeah.
And he may be a nice guy, but his play has deteriorated steadily over the course of his career at the Browns. Last year, he was horrible. He's small. He's not physical.
He's lean. I will say that. He's lean.
I seriously doubt that they'll re-sign him when his contract comes up because the guy is not good.
Dave, I would disagree with you. Is he Denzel Ward? No. Teams need corners. They need good corners. I think he's a good corner. I've always thought that. Is he as good as Denzel? No, I don't think he is. But not many are.
I think that's a great call there, Jeff. I think that's what happens is that he plays alongside a perennial Pro Bowl or All-Pro potential Hall of Fame type player in Denzel Ward, and I think he gets, you know, graded accordingly. Now, listen, you know, Greg has had some down moments.
Without question.
Everybody has.
By his own, he'll tell you that.
Yeah. Maybe we should bring Dave back on here. He can ask the first couple of questions to Greg, so that might go over well.
Greg Newsom coming up, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I think Greg would be the first to admit that there's times where he has not played up to his draft pick and his contract and all that.
His standards.
Yeah, and all these guys are all, listen, they're proud players. They're not out there trying to have bad games and drop balls and blow coverages. They're, you know.
The bad thing, Tom, when you play corner in the NFL, if you make a mistake, it can be, well, it's a touchdown.
What do they say? Your greatest value is having a short memory, right? Because it's coming right back at you.
It's the one position. It's almost like a closer in baseball. You know?
What have you done for me lately, right?
Yeah, if you're really good, outstanding. Way to go. That's awesome. Yeah. Oh my God, Classe blew a save.
Right.
That's just, I mean, he stinks, right? I mean, you see that with relief pitchers all the time, and I think the cornerback position in the NFL is the closest thing other than quarterback that you come to that. Where it's just your failures are on display.
Right.
Nobody knows if a defensive tackle, you know, doesn't do what he's supposed to do on a specific play. Okay, he got blocked. Well, maybe he really screwed up. We don't know. You know, but corner, man, you get fried as a corner, you're in big, big trouble.
Oh, God, yeah. Out on an island, all alone. You know, I remember, but Greg, they picked up the fifth-year option for him, right?
Yeah, they did. So that makes this a critical season for him.
Let's go back to that crossroads that you brought up earlier. Another guy that's got to kind of, you know, prove his worth to get that next big contract in the NFL. And it also makes him, you know, he's going to be the subject of trade rumors. He has been for several years now. There was talk of, you know, potentially the Browns moving him at the trade deadline. Or on draft day last year, as a matter of fact.
And so, Tom, that's what happens with good players.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen with great players very often, but if you're good and teams think there's wiggle room that you could be better, well, that's why Baker Mayfield's not here anymore.
Right. And I think to your point earlier, Jeff, that you made to the caller, is that he's shown flashes of being a very, you know, competent player. You don't hang around in this league for 5 years just because you were, you know, drafted in the first couple of rounds. You've got to at least prove that you belong. And I think Greg has done enough to show that he can be a competent player for this team.
I agree. Greg Newsom, Browns corner, coming up. We're expecting to talk to him here in the 11 o'clock hour. Plus, Browns rookie quarterback speaking in Berea. You'll hear it all as we continue here until 2 o'clock with Tom Withers in for Andy on Baskin and Phelps.
Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He plays corner for the Browns. Hard to believe he's going into year number 5 for the Cleveland Browns. Isn't that hard to believe?
Hard to believe.
It's Mr. Greg Newsom. Hello, Greg.
Where does time go?
How y'all doing?
What's
good
up,
G? Good to have you back with us.
Appreciate it.
Jeff Phelps here. Tom Withers over there. Good. And we appreciate, we said earlier when we heard you were joining us, you know, he's the go-to guy. And we're thankful for that.
Of course.
You're going into a critical season for the team, critical season for you. How do you approach it right now?
Yeah, right now it's just to get better each and every day. Last year I wasn't able to participate in training camp, so I was behind the eight ball a little bit going into the season. So right now it's just get out there, be a leader, bring the energy, and just continue to get better each day.
How you feeling, G? How are you physically?
I feel amazing. I came in heavier this year, around 195 pounds, so I've been training my butt off down there in Arizona, and I feel great right now.
Hey, so this morning we heard that Jordan Hicks is retiring, and you know, just being around him a little bit last year, I was really impressed with the way he carried himself, kind of a pro's pro. What kind of a blow is that to the defense to lose a guy of that caliber?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. When you lose the guy first after last season, and Rodney McLeod, who was a huge veteran leader for us, and then, you know, you lose Jordan Hicks, who was another great leader for us, it's definitely a blow. But, we got a lot of young linebackers that's ready to take that next step, so I'm super excited for them too.
Greg, 2 years ago, Jim Schwartz, defense, terrific. You guys did some great things. Last year wasn't the same level. Wasn't bad, but wasn't the same level. How do you get it back to that level you had, 2 years ago?
Yeah, our focus right now is just to come out here, build camaraderie. Like we said, we kind of try to say, obviously, like, let's get to that level, but let's do more than that level. So our goal right now is not to get back to 2023, but to get better than 2023. So that's our goal right now.
Greg, you were mentioning you came in a little heavier. What was what's the reason behind that? Just kind of wear and tear on the body?
Yeah, just trying to be able to hold up for an entire season. I know if I'm out there with the guys, bringing the energy, bringing my leadership out there, I think we'll do a great job. So my goal right now is just to, the best ability is availability. So I think coming in a little bit heavier, being able to take a little bit more of those hits, give out a little bit more of those hits, I think it'll serve me well.
I think that's a great idea for you. Congratulations. You have the build that a lot of guys would absolutely love, yeah. The long and lanky build. But that's a tough way to play football, Greg. Do you think it's something that has hindered you in the past? Or do you think it's just at this time in your life and this time in your career, it was time to put on a little weight?
Yeah, especially, moving in and playing a lot more nickel reps. Obviously, I'm going to be in that run fit seldomly and a little bit more than normal just because I'm around more the middle of the field. So I know I'm going to be able to get around the ball a lot more. So I think now it's time to just put on a little bit more weight. I still was able to keep my speed up, but just being able to deliver and become a better tackler.
So what's the thought on the entire group back there? Greg, you guys got obviously in Denzel, one of the best in the business, and some good depth. But what's the feeling for the entire secondary going into the season?
Yes, compete. Just compete against each other. Compete every single day. And, at the end of the day, we got 6, 7, 8 guys that we believe that can, as soon as they get on the field, they can make an impact for us. So we're all just trying to compete with each other, trying to get each other better, and that's our goal.
Greg, your game personally, what do you want to see you improve on?
Yeah, for me, it's tackling. I think the coverage aspect of the game, that's obviously my strong suit, man-to-man coverage. And being able to be sticky on receivers. But I think to take that next step for me is just to become a better tackler. And I think that's a thing of just practicing every day, stepping on guys' toes, and be willing to deliver hits. So that's the part of my game I'm trying to grow.
Greg, the biggest storyline at Browns camp is quarterbacks. And I know cornerbacks do a lot of studying of quarterbacks. So I'm just curious, as these four guys are competing for the starting job, just your general thoughts on what you've seen out of them.
Yeah, I think all four are doing an amazing job. Starting off with Joe, obviously the veteran out there, he does a great job. He still has a humongous arm. So he's been doing a great job being a great leader on that side of the ball. And then Kenny, former first-round pick, like that guy has played a lot of football, a lot of meaningful football. So he's been doing a great job. He's more agile, is able to get out of the pocket a little bit more, so he's been doing amazing. Then the two rooks, Shador, a guy that's always going to make the right play, and it's been super great to watch him play. Obviously not going too much against the ones, but just watching film against our young guys, I think he's been doing a great job. And Dylan, I think he's been able to show off his arm talent as well. I think, people don't give him credit enough for his arm talent ability, and I think he's had – made some great throws these last 2 days. So I'm excited for all four of them.
Greg, I want to ask you about Kenny Pickett. You spent time preparing to stop him.
Yeah.
And when he was with Pittsburgh, he actually had a winning record in an offense that wasn't very good. What have you seen from him in an orange helmet as opposed to the helmet that didn't figure out that you needed a logo on each side?
Yeah, for him, I just feel like he's always been one of my favorite guys to compete against.
Huh.
He's a guy that reminds me of that tenacity, you know, that Baker had, like just out there trying to go at you. He's going to talk some trash with you. And just an ultimate competitor. He does whatever, you know, the offense needs for him to win. And I think, obviously, like you said, in Pittsburgh, it wasn't a pass heavy. It was a more run. So that's what he had to do. And I think he did a great job at doing that. So whatever he needs to do, I feel like he'll be able to do it at a high level.
Greg, how's his mobility affect the defense?
Oh, it's a nightmare. Whenever we play against a guy that can pass, that can throw, it adds a lot on our plate. You know, we have to be able to keep him contained. He can obviously make a lot of the throws. He's a guy that can make you miss in the open field. So it definitely takes a huge hit on us as a defense.
Greg, you mentioned Flacco, the veteran's veteran, being back with the team. And I think we all can agree that month-long run we had with Joe here a couple years ago is about as good as it gets. What kind of vibes does he bring to the team? And just can you just speak to his veteran presence and how important that is to have on a team that's kind of, you know, rebuilding again, if you will?
Yeah, I think with Flack, man, I think he just brings that calmness. You know, whenever he's in the building, whenever he's around the team, he just brings that calmness. We know he has achieved, you know, what everyone wants to achieve. So he's a guy that we're definitely looking for advice. He's out there just coaching everybody up and is doing an amazing job. So I'm super excited that he's back in the building.
Greg Newsome joining us, Browns Corner. Your option was picked up. You're good to go. I'd love to have you here long term. Would you like to be here long term?
Let's get it done.
Nah, for sure. You know, I've always said that, you know, since the day I was drafted. I always wanted to be one of those guys that, you know, stayed put for a long time in their career. And obviously 5 years is a huge blessing. But obviously I would love to be here long term, continue to build. I love the city of Cleveland. I know a lot of them love me, and I'm just trying to make some plays out there on the field, and, you know, hopefully we can get that done one time soon. But, you know, at the end of the day, my focus right now is just to do whatever I can to help the team win.
Greg, curious, you know, you got to focus on the here and now, and yours is a name that's been brought up in trade rumors over the years. Is that entirely impossible to block out? I mean, again, given today's age with social media and all the things that are always buzzing around?
Yeah, for sure. I haven't been on social media this entire offseason.
Good for you.
Very wise man, Greg Newsome.
None of it. But I mean, obviously, you know, things like that, family members say things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like at this point in my career, I know my value to a franchise, especially to this team. I'm just out there leading the guys, bringing the energy. So I feel really, really good here. And I know they feel good about me. So that's all that matters.
Lining up with Denzel. Lining up with MJ, I would think you guys set a goal as a unit. Let's be one of the best in the league. Do you think you can be? Do you think you are?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you know, the tape doesn't lie. Film doesn't lie. Last year, you know, specifically for me, wasn't my best season. I know Ward, I mean, he's the best in the game, so he had an amazing season. But getting back to that unit, it's time for me to step my game up again and get us back to, you know, what we were.
Hey, Greg, let's talk flag football for a second. I think it was last week or the week before the Ohio High School Athletic Association became, I think, the 16th state to sanction girls flag football as a varsity sport. I know you've been an ambassador for the last couple of years or so with that. How excited are you to see the kind of the growth of that game and, you know, something that we're going to obviously see in the Olympics in a couple of years?
Yeah, no, I'm super excited, you know, for those women to get an opportunity to play a game, you know, that I love so much. I played 7-on-7, which is pretty much the same thing as flag football my entire life, and it has brought me so much joy. So I'm super excited for them to get an opportunity to play at a high level and for them to get an opportunity to play football.
All right, so tackling is one thing. Grabbing that flag.
It's harder.
It is, isn't it, Greg? That's the one thing about flag football that I always thought. It's like, you know, it might be easier just to, like, wrap them up and throw them to the ground.
Nah, yeah, I think it's definitely harder to grab a flag football. I mean, with you know, tackling, as long as you clip one piece of the body, the toenail or something, they can possibly fall down. If you miss the flag, it's over with. So I definitely think it's definitely harder.
Well, they won't be putting Ja'Marr Chase in a flag, so you won't have to worry about that. Hey, we wish you nothing but the best of luck this season. We want you here long term. We hope that happens. Have a great year and enjoy being heavier.
Appreciate that. Join
the club.
Nice talking to you, Greg.
Thanks,
yeah,
Greg.
You as well.
Greg Newsome, Browns cornerback, joining us on the Fan Hotline. And Greg is always a terrific guy to talk with.
Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.